we made it to another hump day. Wednesday, just a couple minutes past 5 p.m., time for American Hit Radio, 90.3 WHPC. WHPC HD is the station, and the show is American Hit Radio. I'm Tom Ryan. Hopefully, I'll be your host for the next hour if you stick around. My lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, taking care of the boards and the sounds and the engineering and all the technical stuff that I still haven't learned to do after a quarter century. I'm too busy blabbing all the time and dealing with books and stuff. What we do, of course, what we've been doing for that quarter century on Wednesdays is taking a look at albums, trying to salvage them from basically the depths that they fall into. They seem to be like vanishing in terms of like importance. And I've had such a lifelong love for albums, and I felt that with the radio show, one of the coolest things I could maybe do was try to basically reinvigorate their importance by playing one on Wednesdays in one of two categories, those that are very popular and those that weren't very popular. Those that made the top 40 were the popular ones. So we have 500 of my favorites that did, and another 500 that never made the top 40 that are also among my favorite albums. That makes for 500 of each. That's 1,000 shows. That's about, that's a good 20 years of albums that I get to cover. And I'm having a blast doing it. We're pretty close to the halfway mark now. We're a little bit beyond the halfway mark of the top 500, because that's what we're going to cover today. And this is album number 258 in our chronological list of 500. It's an album that came out in November of 1975. So this is its 50th anniversary. And it's an album that I could talk about for an hour, maybe 2 hours, without even playing a song from it, to be honest. It's an album that I really have got that much information in my head and that is that important to me. Number 36 on the pop chart, so it is, like I said, a top 40 album. It's by the band Little Feat, and it's called The Last Record Album. Now, there's a little more... There's more than a little bit, I should say, of irony in the album title, which in retrospect is really such a shame. Since the band's debut album, which came out in 1971, and every album that the band released since then is on my list of the 1,000 albums. The debut album, their second album, Sailing Shoes, Dixie Chicken, Feats Don't Fail Me Now, and now the last record album, all five have made my list. After this, though, poof, they're gone. I don't cover them much anymore. But for those five albums, Little Feat had grown and flourished in a manner that was completely unpredictable, but always exciting. To my mind, that run of five albums qualifies as some of the best and most consistently interesting and diverse music made by any act other than the Beatles. Looking back, I think that I may have spent more time listening to the last record album than any other record, period. I didn't know it at the time, but it marked the end of an era for me. And I held on to it as though my life depended on it. Their subsequent album, Time Loves a Hero, wasn't exactly a disappointment, but it was the first to lose the sense of discovery that made every previous release feel like a stunning challenge. This, the last record album where you know that Lowell George is in full control, even though he only wrote three of the album's eight songs, the last record album, it's a band effort with a beneficent boss who handled the production with a seamless touch, and it is nothing less than magnificent. It's only a shame that the band couldn't maintain their stunning pace of growth beyond this point. So although it's not the last record album, it's not even the last record album by Little Feat, it's not even the last record album by Little Feat with Lowell George, but... it is perhaps the last record album that was truly fabulous and great by the band. Now, to talk about this album and in its time, I could go on forever, but I'm going to play a song before I do that because I have a way of basically rambling on for 20 minutes. And I let's play the opening track. It's called Romance Dance, and it's pretty much written by the entire band except for Lil George. It's Paul Barrere, Kenny Gradney, and Billy Payne all chipped in to write this song about horizontal mambo, so to speak. Romance Dance. I'm going to talk about 1975 and why this album was so unbelievably important to me. Maybe I didn't have the best taste in the world. At this point in time, I was a junior in high school, and I was in love with that point. At that point in time, I was in a band that was playing mostly Southern rock. So I'm listening to like Lynyrd Skynyrd, the Marshall Tucker Band, and the Allman Brothers Band, and that, you know, early 70s stuff that was like that. And what those bands were doing, there was a certain linearity to the rhythm and to what the song structure was like. It was smooth, I guess you could say. And by the time 1975 came around, it was beginning to get old. Duane Allman is dead. The Allman Brothers were not the entity that they were, but at that point in time, frankly, neither was Lynyrd Skynyrd, neither was Marshall Tucker Band. And what was Southern rock was really not that interesting. Punk didn't happen at all yet. That didn't, that thing that suddenly reinvigorated rock and roll and made it really a really vital thing, didn't happen yet. And it looked as though I was looking desperately to find something different. And when I heard this album and what was happening musically, it gave me like an electric shock. Because the way that this band had been moving rhythmically, they were doing things that were unimaginable to me. There's such a shifting, moving, rhythmic change that is almost impossible to imagine what's going on. The rhythms are stark and syncopated, full of holes. That's the most beautiful thing. They don't play through it in a straight line. There's all these funky stops and starts that make the song so interesting, and it kind of like makes you move to it. And if you go to play the song, it takes months for you to figure out where you're actually going to hit the actual same thing that the drummer's doing, because it's not predictable. It's just full of like beautiful changes. And it's always like that. And the band got better and better and better at that over the course of the five albums. The first album was nothing like that. The second album was beautifully weird. The third album, Dixie Chicken, was where it began to get a little bit funky. The fourth album was flat out beautiful. That was Feats Don't Fail Me Now. That was just one of the best albums ever. But this is the album where, from a studio perspective, you really feel, I think, the sophistication of what Little Feat is about. And every song, I think, is representative of some of the best studio work done by any band. And I'm including a band like, say, Steely Dan or the Doobie Brothers, who, I mean, both of those, whether you like those bands or not, certainly they deserve credit for being incredibly good at what they do in the studio. The thing is, Little Feat were just as good, but they have this granular earthiness to them. They sound real. They sound live. They don't sound as though they are antiseptic at all. Like, you can definitely, I know that there's people who don't like those bands that I mentioned because there's a certain antiseptic aspect to them. Little Feat sound down. And here's a great example. This next song is probably one of the best songs that the band ever recorded. Again, it's sung by Lowell George, but Lowell George didn't write it. It's written by Paul Barrere and Billy Payne. But again, I mean, it's produced by Lowell George, and he touches everything about the album. And listen to how awesome the drums and the bass player synchronize to make this song sound so beautiful and funky. It's called All That You Dream.
Clouds change the scene.
Is it just me, or is that like a perfect song? You know, as whether it's, you know, a great radio song, or the way that it's the harmonies of it, the way it's put together, I just can't believe it. I've probably heard that song 10 million times. Like I said, I think I played this album more than any record ever, and I'm not burned out on it. I'm not even close to being burned out on it. And old George has been dead for a really long time. And, you know, it never grows old. I was so looking forward to, when I heard this album, finally I get to play this album. I'm like, oh, good. I just wish I could, like, maybe just play half of it today and maybe half of it next week so I could just keep talking about it. But if I talk about it too much, then I'm not going to really be able to make my point about how great it is. I mean, I got to play the whole record so you can hear the whole thing. So we'll play the next track, which is the shortest song on the record, probably one of the simplest songs on the record, and also maybe one of the most beautiful songs on the record. It's one of the few tracks that is written by Lowell George. He wrote 3 out of the 8. Considering how important Lowell George was to the band, I mean, usually he's responsible for about, I'd say, 3/4 of the songs up until this point. This is the first album where suddenly he's below 50% of the output. But since he sang that last song, you get the feeling that the rest of the band is very much writing in a style that is very suitable to Lowell up until this point. But this next song is just a beautiful love song by Lowell George called Long Distance Love. Thank you.
is this it? What is it that you need? I said, whoa, I need her so. They said, you got to stop your pleading. 'Cause no matter what you do, even pray. The blues. I'm so sad to hear the news. Help a wanted, but not enough. You know these times are getting rough. 'Cause no matter what I do, I even pray.
So much about Little Georgia that is an anomaly. It almost things that just don't even seem to make sense. It's not, his lyrics are like that. I mean, he loves to use multisyllabic words. He likes to use phrases that are deliberately weird, that, you know, don't necessarily seem to fit into the song, and yet kind of do. Like, hello, give me missing persons. They said, what is it that you need? I need her so. You got to stop your pleading. It makes me laugh, that the way that he comes up with these phrases. And they print the lyrics on the album. And I'd like to talk about the album cover itself for about a minute or two, only because I think the front cover, is one of the coolest covers of any album ever. Little Feat in general has the best album covers of any band, thanks to Neon Park, the artist. They just had this artist who always came up with brilliant ideas, and their five albums, their covers are just absolutely astounding. This album, called The Last Record Album, is a play on the Last Picture Show, the movie The Last Picture Show, and what it does is it shows a shot of Hollywood, but in this instance, Hollywood Boulevard is actually a desert, and instead of the street, there's actually cactuses, and there's a jackalope in the front of the street, you know, basically sitting on a rock, although you can still see Fredericks of Hollywood on one side and Grohman's Chinese Theater on the other. But in the background, instead of like where the Hollywood sign would normally be, instead of it being like in the distance, the desert, now it's the Hollywood dessert, because it's a Jell-O mold, which is actually, of course, it's a bit of a play on words. And it's just really beautifully colorful, and it's a laugh. But on the other side is just a black and white cover with lyrics, which is beyond cheapness for a couple of reasons. First of all, they put lyrics for a song on the album that isn't on the album, where they kind of cross it out and they write over it, maybe next time, because it didn't make the record. They also have lyrics with the wrong lyrics, because like on Long Distance Love, like we just heard him singing, and you know, her toes were so pretty and her laugh so sweet. They actually write the wrong words. Her toes are so pretty and her life so sweet. Like, what? They can't even get the words right? I'd be like, oh, that's kind of weird. And then, this is like ironic, actually. Richie Hayward, the drummer, got in a bad motorcycle accident, and Lowell thought it would be interesting to put all of his hospital bills on the bottom of the back cover. So there's all of these bills about all of the money that Richie Hayward had, you know, basically had to worry about paying because of the way that he was all beaten up, which ended up being amazingly ironic when the band broke up and Richie Hayward moved to Canada, because he ended up basically dying in poverty because he had incredible bills from his illness when he died and he couldn't afford to pay his bills. So sadness and irony in that regard. All right, back to the album. There's one more song on side one, written by Billy Payne and his wife, Fran Tate. Billy is the most the classical writer of the band. He's also like the most jazz-oriented player, and it's obvious on this album. This is like a really strange, funky song, where every time he comes to a different verse, he kicks it up a notch with what instrument he's playing and how far he takes it. And you'll hear how the band, the drummer especially, Richie, gets more and more excitable as the song goes on until it ends with this fabulous drum solo. I think the song is a masterwork. A weird one, but I think it's a masterwork. Before we start it, let me mention that you're listening to American Hit Radio on WHBC, WHBC HD, Garden City, New York. And this track by Little Feat is entitled Day or Night. listen to that drumming. It almost angers me. I've been listening to that drums now for like 50 years, and I can't do it. I still can't do it. I tried to play along with it. It's too much. It's too good. Richie Hayward, he was a machine. I will flip the record over. Side two begins very similar to the way that side one began, a song written by the exact same threesome, Paul Barrere, Kenny Gradney, Billy Payne. Basically, the bass player, piano player, and the other guitar player, Paul Barrere, I guess you could call him. This song, it's not too different from Romance Dance thematically either. It's called One Love Stand. That's a perfect example of what I talk about little feet leaving space and how they can. I mean, I've never heard a band intertwine their instruments as gracefully as Little Feet does. And I never will, the way that they leave space for each other and roll through their sections. I think it's just so fabulous. Now, the next track is another Lowell George song that he written for himself, and you get a good feeling for him and his lyricism on this track. He gets to like use words like onomata poetry and things like that. And she don't need a gun. She's an ultimatum. It's called Down Below the Borderline.
Of the border was a hot spot for all the fools from the edge to the corner looking for square deer or fair deer. She don't need a gun, but she's an ultimatum. She got no corners. She can turn on a dime, then just find, darling, you can drop me anywhere. This down below the borderline, down below the borderline. Pulling out your hand, she acting so demanding. She don't need no stuff. You might not be found here sometime. Down below the borderline. Onomatopoeia poetry, symmetry in motion. They heard about that girl there across the ocean. To love her is a thrill, so tell me it's for real. You break away and leave you crying. It's some stop sign down below the borderline. Down below the borderline. Down below the borderline.
That's that, Down Below the Borderline. Now, next up, the next track is another Billy Payne song, another one of the, you know, maybe one of the stranger songs on the album, but this is a sad song. This is a really sad song, a really slow song, and this song has always, like, ripped my heart out. Try to be patient and listen to this. The words are beautiful, and the middle section is really weird, and I just think it's deeply emotional. It's called Somebody's Leaving. And I think this works wonders. It goes a long way emotionally. by Billy Payne. Here's Somebody's Leaving.
Tell me somebody, what were you like when you saw your life go under? Did you cry? Was there someone there? Or were you on your own? Why can't two people be well enough alone?
I don't think I've ever heard that song performed live, which doesn't surprise me, but it's a studio masterwork, if you ask me. Now, there's one song left to play, but I was talking about irony when we started this out, and I want to get back to that before I play the last song. We're talking about 1975, and I think that at that point in time, American rock and roll had more or less gone light. In a sense, if you think like the Eagles, you know, Lion Eyes was their hit around that time. The bands that were popular, as I recall it, were bands like Poco and Pure Prairie League, which is really killer ironic now, because this occurred to me as I was coming in to play this album. Lowell George died after in the late 70s, and that more or less ended Little Feat, you know, cold for a while. But eventually the band decided to reform, and when they did, it just killed me. I hated it so much, because they brought in this guy who sounded like he, because it was like a Lowell George look-alike and a kind of a Lowell George sound-alike, but he had none of, like, you know, no, his songwriting chops or his vocal skills or his personality. It was all gone. And you know who that guy was? It was Craig Fuller from Pure Prairie League. I mean, how ironic is that? The exact band that was making me like want to like turn away from what was happening in 1975 and make me love Little Feat is the guy that ended up replacing Lowell George in Little Feat. It was enough to make me cry. I saw Little Feat, I think it was in the 80s, when they played right here around the corner at Jones Beach, to see what it might have been like when they got back together. And I had to walk out. I was practically in tears, because it was not the same as what it was. I missed that band and what the original band meant to me so much. And, you know, particularly because of like what this album meant to me. And I can't convey it enough how much I love it. And I guess I made that pretty clear today. The first five albums, I think, are some of the most important albums by an American artist you're going to ever hear. And I'll end it with this song written by Lowell George and that incredible drummer, Richie Hayward. And Lowell George gives credit to his wife, Elizabeth, as well on this one. It's called Mercenary Territory. Man, I had a blast today. I hope you enjoyed this album, too. That means a lot to me if you did. Little Feat's last record album in its entirety. This song is called Mercenary Territory. Thanks, folks. See you later. Tell him.